Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to hear all the conversation going on this morning. I just want to welcome you and welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us this morning and welcome those watching via the live stream. This morning, we're going to listen to a song and watch the video that goes along with it. It has the lyrics. So as we watch that, invite the Holy Spirit to come this morning. Just take time to turn over everything to God and just invite the Holy Spirit to come. The song is by Patrick Mayberry, and the title of the song is Holy Spirit Come. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are gathered here to worship you. maker of heaven and earth, and you are here with us. Help us to set aside any burdens we are carrying. We turn them over to you. Help us to focus on you every moment of each day. Free us to worship you from the things that distract us and weigh us down. Flood this place with your Holy Spirit. Light a fire in us that cannot be put out. Bring a revival that spreads far and wide. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us into worship this morning.
We're gathered here this morning, a bunch of sinners before a holy God. And the first song we're going to sing is one that many of you remember as an invitation. And it is an invitation, and it's a very happy invitation because we can all come exactly as we are. It's tempting sometimes to think that maybe we are more or less acceptable at different times. Perhaps our devotions were more meaningful, or we managed to say something about Jesus when we had an opportunity, or maybe we were quiet, and so this affects how we feel like we stand before God. We've been mean to people, or we've been kind to people. All this can affect how we feel. But the truth is, we all come the same way. If we think that we need to be good, then we're saying Jesus' blood wasn't quite enough. If we say, well, I'm really quite okay today, or if we're saying, I can't possibly be okay before God today, then God's blood isn't enough. Nobody's more acceptable than you. Nobody here, because of who they are or what their position is, how well they pray out loud, how many times they read through the Bible. We're all free to come for the same reason, and that's because Jesus shed his blood. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Perhaps you know this song and you can sing it with your eyes closed. If you can, it might be a good idea. But either way, think about each line as you are singing. this point, we're going to receive the offering, which is for youth ministries this morning, and the children may bring their coins for My Coins Count.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day that we can be together worshiping and honoring you. And yes, your blood is sufficient. In fact, it's the only thing that is sufficient to allow us to be with you forever. And we just thank you for this time. I also want to lift up the offering as we give back a portion of your blessings and to take care of the needs of the church, as well as to cover the youth ministries here. We thank you for everyone involved, and we just lift this time up again to you. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
I would invite you to stand for the remaining of our songs.
Rising.
God's power, it's not ours. When we face anything difficult, demanding, tiring, painful, tempting, it is God's power that will save us. It is not our own energy or ideas or knowledge or courage, but God will make a way.
Seems to be no way.
thank you for what we can look forward to, how you're going to make a way for us in each situation, how you're going to strengthen us. And we just look forward to your message to us today. We pray you would give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. I'm over here. So good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
The sun's shining. It's nice and beautiful out. So this morning we're going to talk about temptation. Does anybody know what temptation means? What was that?
Someone trying to make you do something.
But yeah, there's temptation involved in that. That you want to make, or that you want to have, or do something that might not be good for you. Or it goes against God's word, or you don't do what you should do. See, temptation is involved in that too, if you don't do what you should do. So I have some examples. What is this?
Trash
can. Is it full? No, it's not. It's definitely not full, because I can cram all kinds of stuff in here yet. I can just keep piling stuff in here. Now is it full? You can just keep cramming more in there, right? But is that what you should do? No. What should you do? Empty it when it gets full, right? You shouldn't just keep cramming more stuff in because the bag might tear and stuff might leak out and might make more of a mess.
And the stuff will stay in there so you can't get it out.
Yeah, it gets stuck in there. You can turn it upside down and shake it, and most of it stays. Ooh, I just made a big mess. See, that's what happens when you don't empty it when you should. You make a giant mess. Here's another example. I have this plate of Oreos, and I'm only supposed to really have two, according to servings. Yeah, I probably shouldn't even have two, but what if I just keep eating them? I wasn't planning on doing that, but, you know, I was being tempted by the plate of Oreos in front of me, and I gave in, so you have to excuse me talking with my mouth full for the next minute. So what might happen if I continue to eat this plate of Oreos?
Get a sugar rush.
I will get a serious sugar rush. That is definitely true. Especially without some milk. Not quite as good.
And you'll get a bellyache.
Yeah, I'll get a bellyache. So what happens when we give in to temptation? We'll make a fool out of ourselves because we're shoveling cookies in our mouth.
Bad
things can happen. We can get sick, and God tells us that we're not supposed to give in to temptation because temptation can lead us to sin. Not that three cookies were really bad for me, but if I kept eating, that wouldn't be good for my body. In Genesis, Adam and Eve ate the fruit that God told them not to. They sinned and they got kicked out of the garden, right? All because they gave in to temptation. And temptation is everywhere and it sneaks up on you and you have to be alert and watch out for it. So I'd like to pray for you guys and then you can have a snack. It's over there. It's not Oreos, sorry. So we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Pour a blessing on them. Call them to you. Speak to their hearts, leading them each day so that they won't give in to temptation and doing things that you don't want them to do and are bad for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Now that I think I have all the cookies washed down. I would like to thank you for your prayers and concerns that you have shown our family as Hannah had surgery. We'd just like to thank you for your concern and well wishes that you have given to us. And thank you for your affirmation of me to fill Larry's role. So this morning, we are going to continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. This morning, we are going to be looking at Matthew 6:13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Temptation is everywhere and in many different forms. You can exchange the word for test or trial, for temptation. You can interchange those words. Everybody faces temptation. What tempts one person might not tempt another. Someone may be tempted to spout off on social media when someone says something that pushes your buttons, and man, you just want to really let them have it, right? Just want to put them in their place. But how you respond shows whether you give in to temptation or not. How you respond will either pull them to Christ or push them away. You can speak truth, but you need to speak it in love. Because I see a lot of people claiming to be Christ followers, yet trying to blast other people in the name of standing up for their faith. The temptation of being right overshadows the love of Jesus that could be shown. Romans 14:10-13. But you, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will give praise to God. So then, each of us will be given an account for himself to God. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. So are we showing kindness and compassion, or are we passing judgment on others? When we need to confront somebody, what's the best way to do it? The hardest way to do it, but the best. Go, meet with them face to face. Take the action, because you going and meeting with someone might actually bring them back to Christ instead of pushing them away. Maybe your temptation is being comfortable. I want to have a life that is comfortable. Whatever I have to do to get that, I will. And as soon as I feel uncomfortable, I run away from situations instead of facing them. Luke 12, This is Jesus speaking. Then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, "What should I do since I don't have anywhere to store up my crops? I will do this," he said. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store up my grain and my goods there. Then I will say to myself, 'You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The man gained wealth from the crops that he had. God provided those crops for him. He had more than he could use. He had years' worth of stuff stored up. So he had a plan. I'm going to build bigger barns to store the stuff. And the man also planned, I'm going to take it easy for years and live comfortably. I'm just going to live up life and enjoy. It's really easy to see how that would be tempting, isn't it? You could really easily see that temptation. Maybe your temptation is visual. Oh, my phone just chimed. Oh, there's a new video. Well, I'm just going to watch one. And you go like an hour later and you go, oh, what happened? I guess I should go back to what I was doing. Visual stimulation draws us in different forms. There's many different forms. Judges 14, 1 to 3. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman there. He went back and told his father and his mother, "I have seen a young Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Can you find a young woman among your relatives or any of your people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines for a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She is the right one for me." Now his father and mother did not know this was from the Lord, who wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for a confrontation. See, Samson saw this woman and wanted his father to get her to be his wife. It didn't matter that she was a Philistine. He was visually enticed and wanted her for his wife. Maybe your temptation is to quickly have a bad attitude when things go wrong or don't go your way. Philippians 2:14, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked world, crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky." Well, this past week I was working on Teresa's car, and twice I was shipped the wrong part, and I finally got the job finished, and I drove it home. It was running great. There was no problems, and the next day there was an oil leak under the car. If you don't know, I had the engine completely out of the car and redid the engine and put it back in. So an oil leak was not a good thing, and it was very, 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 very tempting to have a bad attitude. Very tempting. And I'll get into more of that in a little later. These few temptations are just a few that we can face every day in every situation that we go through. James 1:14-15, "But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death." When we desire something, that's not necessarily bad. But when that desire grows in us so that we have to act and it consumes us, that's when the problem starts. This sin nature that is in us, it rises up and we go from being tempted to desiring and then moving into sin. We act on that desire. Second Samuel 11:1-4. In the spring, when kings march out to war, David sent Joab with his officers and all Israel. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and strolled around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, a very beautiful woman. So David sent someone to inquire about her, and he said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to him, he slept with her. Now she had just been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Afterwards, she returned home. David was tempted. Desire rose up in him, and he gave in to desire, and he sinned, and he fell. So where does temptation come from? Satan. Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. The Holy Spirit led him to the place that he was going to be tempted, but the Holy Spirit did not tempt Jesus. It was the devil. Satan tempted Jesus. He waited until Jesus was at his weakest. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the tempter, Satan, comes and challenges Jesus' authority and tells him to turn these stones into bread and prove that he is the Son of God. But Jesus passed this test and didn't give in to temptation. We have to look at Job when you talk about temptation. Job 1:8-11, I'm going to paraphrase. God points out Job to Satan, saying, "No one is like him. He fears God and turns away from evil." And then Satan replies, "It's only because of the blessings that he receives from you." And then God gives Satan the power to test or tempt Job into sinning against God. Does Satan have the power? No. Luke 22:31. "Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prepared for you that I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Lord, he told him, "I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." "I tell you, Peter," he said, "the rooster will not crow today until you deny three times that you know me." Satan asked God for permission to sift Peter, to test him. Does God test people, tempt people? No, God has no evil in him, and he does not tempt anyone. God allows temptation to happen, but if someone says, "God is tempting me," ask them what God they're following, because it is not the God of the Bible. He does not tempt people. Well, that one's big enough, I can read that one, so I'll read off the screen. "No one undergoing a trial should say, 'I'm being tempted by God,' for God is not tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." That's from James 1:13. So why does God allow us to be tempted? Well, one reason is to test us, to see if we have grown in our faith. James 1:2-4. "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So when we are tempted and we do not give in to it, we gain endurance, which helps us to stand the next time we are tempted. Through this process, we become mature, we become strong in our faith, and we lack nothing. When we read the first part of verse 13, lead us not into temptation, what does that really mean? Are we asking God not to test us? Are we saying that we don't want to grow in endurance and maturity? Well, part of the answer is yes, because no one wants to be tested. No one wants to go through a hardship, even though on the other side we know we will be stronger in our faith. But what we're asking God is to help us not to stumble and fall when we're faced with temptation, not to go through temptation, but we're asking God to help us not to fall. We're asking God to strengthen us, to carry us through so that we do not give in to temptation and let it turn to desire and let it turn to sin. The second part of Matthew 6:13, deliver us from the evil one. So how does God deliver us? Luke 22, And Jesus has gone with his disciples up to the garden. He went out and made his way, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, "Pray that you may not fall into temptation." When he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away, knelt down and began to pray, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus is telling his disciples to pray so that they will not fall. And then Jesus goes off and is praying, and he's passing the test that he is facing, that test of temptation. Because when Jesus turns over his will to go to the cross, to go to the grave, that gets stripped away. And when that happens, he passes the temptation that he is facing. Prayer is one way that we can be delivered from temptation. So my earlier story about the car, from my wife's she gave me the idea to go do this. I went for a walk, and as I was walking, I was praying so that I would not have this bad attitude or get it caught in this spiral of negative thinking because my car had a leak that I just spent a lot of time fixing. And I'm not worried about it. We'll get it fixed. Hopefully it's nothing real big. I didn't really look into it too much, so hopefully it's something simple and I don't have to pull the engine back out. That would be worst case scenario, but it is what it is. It's okay. So when we pray, we are fighting a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." See, this battle, it takes place in the heavenly realms, but it does manifest itself in our world. So prayer is a weapon that we can use which has an effect on our world. It's not just a spiritual thing. It has true effect on our world as well. And that is how God, one way that God comes and helps us. Reading and filling your mind with Scripture is a great way that God can deliver us. It's a great way to fight temptation. From the Garden of Eden to the temptation of Jesus and forward, Satan, he likes to take the words of God and just twist them. And if we don't know what God's words are, what the Bible says, How will we know when those words are being twisted and manipulated by Satan, trying to get us to fall, trying to get us to take a bite of that fruit that we shouldn't? Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. That's how powerful Scripture is. Remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? What did he use to combat Satan? He used Scripture. He used God's words to fight against him. And what happened? Satan fled. Satan cannot stand against God's word. First Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. We will not be tempted beyond what we can bear. So how do you know what you can bear? How do you know what you can stand up under? In sports today, many athletes set new records. They're strong because they train physically and mentally. It may be the fastest that they have ever run or swam, and they didn't even know they could go that fast until they did it. So how do we know what we can bear? How do we know how far we can go to stand up against temptation? That's where we need to have trust and faith in God. If you would have asked Job if he could handle everything that he went through, like many of us, he would have probably said, no, I can't handle that. And Job didn't sin by giving into the temptation to blame God for what happened. But when he was through the temptation and everything, God blessed him more than he had before. So we don't know what we can bear until we actually walk through something. That sounds kind of intimidating, doesn't it? We do not know what we can bear till we go through it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't say that that it will make our temptations or trials go away. It tells us to come before God and give over those things that tempt us and receive a rest from Jesus, from his promises in this word. We can have a rest even though we're facing temptation and trials. We can have a rest as we walk through it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And that includes standing against temptation even when we don't know when it will end. It's not our strength that we lean on. It's God's strength that we lean on to stand. And we stand in that promise that God has made for us. There's some things that we can do when we're facing temptation. We can have an accountability partner or group, someone who checks in on us and maybe asks those hard questions. Did you exercise today? Did you stay on your diet? And many, many other questions depending on your temptation. Maybe you actually have to flee temptation, like Joseph did when Potiphar's wife tempted him. Depending on your situation, you might have to find a new job. You might have to change that coffee shop you've been going to for 20 years, or that restaurant you visit every day. Maybe you have to go somewhere else and do something different. This is serious. These situations need to be taken very seriously, including taking a step of action and maybe changing things up. Another thing that we can do is to be alert. 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10. Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. We need to be alert. We actually need to be watching out for the attacks of the enemy. The enemy likes getting us to fall into temptation. But we're supposed to resist him, firm in the faith, standing on God's promises. We know that there are other brothers and sisters that face the same things that we do. We are not alone. We're supposed to take courage from that. We're not the only one who's being tested. But we're supposed to stand firm against temptation in all its forms. God is there to carry us through, even when it seems unending, and we just can't go anymore. We need to stand firm, trusting in God to fight temptation. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for standing with us as we go through tests and trials. Give us strength to stand against the enemy. Father, as war is raging in the Ukraine, you know the situation that is going on. Your word says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. But we stand on your promise that you are in control of everything, even when we can't see it. We ask you to stop the conflict. We ask you to protect the people from harm. Show up in ways that will spread your message throughout the whole area that you are God and that you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen.
When Jesus was facing the cross, he asked for prayer and he prayed. We also need to do that.
Thank you.
Will you stand for the parting benediction? This is my charge to you. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore with the truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Stand against temptation. God bless you. You're dismissed.